I don't know if you noticed when we were singing song number 30 in the hymnal, the words say in the first verse, "My soul has found tranquility, no longer would I try to add to Calvary's finished work, complete in Him am I." That's very simple, that's very powerful. We're going to stop trusting our own work and trust what Christ did on Calvary. And there's Bible verses behind that. That's where that verse came from. I think we can all agree on that. It's that topic that we're going to talk about today. Adding to Christ's completed work on Calvary. As you know, we're due this morning for another tract lesson from our ever-expanding tract rack and book nook back there. We get these tracts, these ones that are printed on colored paper, from our friends out in Swayze, Indiana, at Grace Bible Ambassadors Fellowship, Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship is what they're called. They're having a seminar next week in case anybody wants to skip here and drive out to Indiana. They're having an all-day Saturday and Sunday seminar. But the tract I've chosen this week is called Acts 2:38. Just a chapter and verse. That's the title of the tract. And if you ask a good majority of folks who identify as Christians today, what's important about Acts 2:38? What do you think your response you'll get from the majority of people? "I've never read that. That's not in the red letters, right? I didn't know there was anything outside of the red letters." Today they'll say, "Well, I don't know, because our church, we put our verses up on the Jumbotron, and I never pay attention to where the verses are." The millennials today would say, Acts 2, isn't that where Karl Marx and Bernie Sanders told us to go learn about communism?" Yes, it was. You got that right, millennial. You didn't know that? There's a commune in Acts 2. But here's the fact. There are people who go to church, Christian church, probably more than you all do. People who are serious about being followers of Jesus. They read their Bibles to some degree or another. They evangelize, they proselytize with zeal and fervor. And Acts 2:38 is their verse. One of two major verses in their Bible that they know. But Acts 2:38 is the one. Does anyone know the content of Acts 2:38? Offhand. Without looking at your Bibles. Alright, good. This lesson will be good then. Because if you don't know the content of Acts 2:38, you should. We have on the wall, when you come in, Ephesians 3:9, "Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." If you don't know Acts 2, you've got a blind spot in performing Ephesians 3:9. If you want to make all men see, you need to know Acts 2:38. You need to know this verse. Because, and one of the things that I learned early on is, one of our biggest mission fields, the people who need the gospel, are church-going people. People who go to church every single week, who've never heard the gospel, and are as unsaved as the chairs. And that changed my perspective on a lot of things. But the tract starts with a question. The question is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And when people, thousands, maybe even millions of church-going religious people, if you were to ask them that question, the first verse that will pop into their minds is Acts 2:38. That's what I must do to be saved. Acts 2:38. And they think, I know that I've hit 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 with this group hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, to the point where, you know, when I say 1 Corinthians 15, I know where he's going with this. Christ died, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what you believe. That's how you're saved. The way you think about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is the way that millions of people think about Acts 2:38. It's their go-to verse. It's their verse. What this tract does is it asks the question, what must I do to be saved? Then it goes on to quote the person who's reading it, who's thinking, Acts 2:38. That's my verse. It quotes the verse. And let's look at it here. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. So the person who's heard nothing but Acts 2:38 as the gospel their whole life, it prints it out. Yes, I know that. I have that verse tattooed to the inside of my eyelids. That's my verse. So it's appealing. We were talking on Thursday about a confirmation bias. When you want to believe something is true, you're biased in every piece of information you take in. You feel like it confirms what you already decided is true. So that's what this tract does very skillfully. It's bringing them in, bringing your reader in. And by the way, a tract like this, as you'll see, is extremely confrontational information in this. And sometimes, especially with an Acts 2:38 person, a tract works better than a conversation. And we talked about this before, how sometimes a conversation can devolve into a fight of, no, yeah, no, yeah. Where this just presents the material. You're long gone. They can get mad at you, but you're long gone. You're safe. You won't get punched in the mouth. So sometimes tracts do things that you can't one-on-one talking to somebody. But people who know Acts 2:38, who have that verse tattooed on the inside of their eyelids, they've heard their whole life that salvation is turning from their sins, getting wet, and then they get whatever their particular denomination preaches as the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Some people talk in tongues, some people, you know, have fake miracles. So we got fake tongues, fake miracles, you know, some kind of a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. They've heard that that's God's plan of salvation. So here they are, they know this, and they pick up a tract that says, what must I do to be saved? And it prints their verse. And they say, woohoo! This is great! I know that verse, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Game, set, match. If you're listening to the Cleveland Indians on the radio, what does Tom Hamilton say every time they win? At the last pitch, he says, ball game! That's what they think when they see this in Acts 2:38. I said they know two verses. Two verses. The second one they know is 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does anybody know a common theme between those two verses? What's being preached in both of those verses? Water baptism. Water baptism as a part of the gospel. Do we all remember what gospel is? Gospel is not the means by which God chooses to save all mankind throughout all humanity. We know that is the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood and his death, burial, and resurrection, correct? So a gospel is simply good news. Right. So we know that the cross is the plan of salvation for all men throughout all eternity. Question is, did Noah know about the cross? Was that his gospel? No. Noah, his object of faith was build a boat, right? Okay. What about Abel? What was his object of faith? It wasn't in the cross, was it? It was bring an animal for a sacrifice, right? What about Abraham? Was his gospel the gospel of the grace of God? Absolutely not. His gospel was a covenant. So gospel is not the plan of salvation. Acts 2:38 is a gospel. It is good news for people in a certain time to follow. Only Paul's gospel, Paul's good news, by the revelation of the mystery, by the manifold wisdom of Christ, Paul's gospel, the object of faith, is Christ's work alone. Nothing added. That's what we sang in the song. Nothing added to Christ's work alone. So the millions of people who are following Acts 2:38 are following a Bible gospel. The problem is they're following the wrong one. Just as if they would say, well, no, I'm going to trust my circumcision. Well, no, I brought my firstlings of my flock. That's what I'm going to do. I found it in the Bible. Well, no, I'm going to build a boat in my backyard. Zoning will throw you out. You will not live in your neighborhood much longer. So Acts 2:38 is a gospel, spoken again in 1 Peter 3:21. If you want to put a face to the doctrine, has anybody ever watched the show Duck Commander? The Robertsons, they make their duck calls, they live in Louisiana, get into all kinds of shenanigans. The Robertsons are Acts 2:38 people. They trust water to save them. I listened to Willie Robertson, the CEO guy, the biggest one. He said in front of Harding University, you have to live it to get saved. Adding works to the gospel. He tells a story about how he, quote, led an NFL Hall of Famer to the Lord. And he says he baptized this man into Christ in a hot tub at his home. Amazing. Willie can put someone's eternal soul into Christ by putting him in his hot tub. That's the face to the doctrine, Acts 2:38. People trusting water instead of Christ's finished work. That is the audience of this tract. Somebody like Willie. Somebody who's always learned to trust water instead of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Peter's preaching in Acts 2? What do we know about what's going on in Acts 2? It's prophecy. It's moving right along from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, moving into Israel's prophetic program. Paul is still Saul of Tarsus, and nobody knows the mystery of Christ, nobody's ever heard of it, and nobody's heard the gospel that saves your soul. Read through Acts 2, if you can this week. There's not one mention of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ pays for all your sins, trust that and he'll forgive you. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, Ephesians 1:13. There's nothing about that. And there is communism at the end of the chapter. Everybody's following the 100% tithe that Jesus commanded back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They sell all of their possessions and have all things common. But back to the track, imagine you're a guy like Willie. What must I do to be saved? Bam, Acts 2:38. Then you open the page and the first sentence on the next page hits you across the face like a 2x4. And I would know something about that. You all know my background. I worked in a construction field for a long time. I know what it's like to be hit across the face with a 2x4. Amen?
Yep.
It's not pleasant. I also know what it feels like to get hit, 4x4, 2x6, 2x8, all the dimensions. But the first sentence says Acts 2:38 is not the plan of salvation because. What? All these people know is Acts 2:38 is the way you get saved. That's all they've ever heard. Their whole Bible revolves around it, as if Acts 2:38 is the sun, and their whole life is revolving around Acts 2:38. The first sentence says Acts 2:38 is not the plan of salvation because. That must be a misprint. They shouldn't have the word not in there. Acts 2:38 is not the plan of salvation. What? That's half of the verses I know. I only know two. You're telling me one half. How can you say that Acts 2:38 is not the plan of salvation? To give you an idea how provocative a statement that is, I have printed out here from the First United Church of Jesus Christ Apostolic. The title from the First United Church of Jesus Christ Apostolic says Acts 2:38, the original New Testament plan of salvation. You know what? I would agree with that. It is the original New Testament plan for salvation. Why, here I have in Acts 2, I have Peter on the other side of the cross preaching to Israel how to be saved. The problem is you're not in Israel's New Testament. You're in the dispensation of God's grace. Israel was who got the Old Testament, correct? Exodus 19. Guess who gets the New Testament? Americans. No! Jeremiah 31:31. Israel gets the New Testament. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah. By the way, that was something that really helped me in my Bible understanding. Early on, I figured out, I'm not Israel. I didn't know exactly what I was. I hadn't heard clear teachings about the church, the body of Christ. But I knew, whatever I am, I'm not Israel. That's what you need to understand. You are the church of what's happening now. You are not Israel. But they say, Acts 2:38, the original New Testament plan for salvation. So here you are with this tract I mentioned, confrontational. Here you are, you hand this to old Willie. They have a read, Willie. And the first sentence on the second page is something that opposes everything he knows to be true, righteous, and holy altogether. That's why a track like this may be safer sometimes than having a conversation. You don't have to duck the punches coming at you. But what I'm going to demonstrate, I'm going to go through this from the First Church of Jesus Christ Apostolic. I'm going to demonstrate 2 Timothy 3:5 for you. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Has anybody ever run across that verse? Paul's warning about people that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I'm going to demonstrate to you what that looks like by going through their presentation here. Guess what the first thing at the top of their page says. You see the little chart here? The first thing at the top of their page is 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Anybody ever heard of those verses before? That's the power of God unto salvation, is it not? The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Well, they mention it here. Jesus did a few things. They don't end with trust Christ's work alone, though. They don't end with trust what the God of the universe did for you. They say, Jesus did things, now you need to do things. That's not the gospel, is it? Now it's time, they present what Jesus did. Now it's time to deny that power. We know there's power in preaching that cross and trusting that alone, do we not? How can we deny the power of it? By adding stuff to it. The God, apparently for the first church, United Church of Jesus Christ Apostolic, the God of all glory, dying for you to save your miserable soul, ain't good enough. God needs you to seal the deal. So, I learned Christ did some things. Now they get to the important part. What you need to do in order to get saved. The first thing they say, believe in Jesus Christ that He died for you. Okay? They say that's not good enough though. Believe in Jesus Christ that He died for you is not good enough. They say it's necessary, but only the first step. Is that denying the power of the cross? That's denying the entire gospel that Paul preaches for 13 books of your Bible. Okay. The next thing you need to do is repent. Does anybody remember what repent actually means? What? Change the mind, correct. That's not how they define repent. They define repent as you being really sorry for being such a dirtbag, then promise to not be so much of a dirtbag in the future, change your behavior, and be a good boy. So like I said, the God of all glory shedding, whose blood was that was shed? It wasn't Joseph's. It wasn't Mary's. God's blood. Not good enough. We need you to stop to be really sorry and not be such of a dirtbag. All right? Does that sound like denying the power of the cross? Complete in Christ alone by His finished work? No. So they say, believing that, repenting, according to a wrong definition of repent, that's just the first step. But wait, there's more. Here we are, 1995. But wait, there's more. All right. I didn't call for sound effects, but okay. We got to fire the sound guy. Can I get an amen on that? The substitute sound guy must be fired. But wait, there's more. God dying for you, eternal God shedding His blood for you, not good enough. You being really sorry and promising to not be such a dirtbag, not good enough. You're not done yet. The next thing you need to do is Acts 2:38. And they're very specific. You must be, let me read it how they say it. You must be baptized by immersion, total immersion, in water. But wait, there's more! You being completely dunked, not good enough. You have to have somebody say the name Jesus Christ while they're doing it, or it doesn't count. What if He didn't dunk me all the way? What if I came out with a dry ear or I stuck my leg up and I got a dry toe? Not good enough. Do it again. What if somebody said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost while they did it? No, not good enough. Totally underwater. Right words being said. And they say, no sprinkling, no pouring, and no saying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You have to say Jesus Christ. They have a Bible verse next to it. Romans 6. Let's look at Romans 6. Remember, we're still not saved yet. We're working our way through the process. Does that sound like we're denying the power of Paul's gospel? Having a form of godliness? Well, they're doing religious things. They're saying Jesus. They have this form of godliness. They're saying and doing churchy things and denying the power of what God has dispensed for this planet for people to put their faith in. Romans 6:3 is what they quote. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Question. And maybe you need to go back and read the Gospels. How did Christ die? Drowning. We all know that, right? Somebody has held his head under the water until the bubbles stopped coming up, and that's how Christ died, right? No? Didn't happen that way. So we're being baptized into Christ's death. That's what the Filipinos are doing, right? When they nail themselves to crosses. Did Jesus stay underwater for 3 days and three nights? He said, like as his baptism into death, like as his resurrection from the dead, we're baptized into that. So Jesus didn't drown. Jesus didn't stay underwater for 3 days and three nights. So what in the world are we doing trying to put water into Romans chapter 6? There's no water there. Don't we know that in Luke 12:50, Jesus calls his death a baptism? He'd already been water baptized. He's pointing towards a future baptism saying, I have another baptism to be baptized with. That's the one Romans 6 is talking about. It's not talking about water. It's Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. You've been put into him. So how in the world do you get water in Romans chapter 6? Oh, because your whole world revolves around Acts 2:38. And because you're trusting water to save you instead of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how. So back to their plan of salvation. We got the fullness of the Godhead, a bodily dying for us. Great, but not good enough. It's almost scary for me to say stuff like that, but I'm just quoting what they're preaching here. Check, God out of the body died for me. Check, really sorry for being a dirtbag, I'm going to be less of a dirtbag. Check, got full on dunked. No dry ears, no dry toes. Had the guy say, Jesus Christ, while he's dunking me, now am I saved? No! But wait, there's more! If you've gotten all the conditions met, all the boxes checked for salvation, we will know, according to the First United Church of Jesus Christ Apostolic, we will know that you've got all your boxes checked, all your I's dotted, and all your T's crossed when you learn how to start fake tongue talking. That's how we will know. You will suddenly have the gift of faking talking in tongues. Let me see what they say here. Receive the Holy Spirit baptism evidenced by tongues. After you meet the conditions of repentance, faith, and obedience, and then you can believe God promised it to you and know that tongues is the initial evidence of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Has anyone ever been to a tongue-talking church? I have. I can read Acts 2, and I can know whatever you call what they're doing in that building is not Acts 2. I hear a bunch of unintelligible babble, a lot of consonants. It repeats like in a cycle, like they've memorized how they're going to fake it. you know, every now and again you'll add in something new, but you got your base. This is my fake tongue talking here. This is what I'll do. I can read Acts 2. That's not what's going on in Acts 2. People who speak actual languages are amazed because here they are. I'm from West Bufu. I speak Bufuese. Here's a Galilean fisherman, and he's speaking, and I'm hearing perfect West Bufuese coming out of his mouth. That's the gift of tongues, known languages. That is having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. That is the intended audience for this tract. You'll be able to identify the person who needs this tract. They'll be nicer than you. Do you know why? They're trying to be less of a dirtbag because they're trusting that behavior as a part of their salvation. So they will be nicer than you, and you'll hear them talk about Peter a lot. You'll hear them talk about Acts 2:38. You'll hear them talk about 1 Peter 3. That's your mark. That's the person who needs this tract. That's the audience for this. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And I can't pronounce anybody saved or not other than myself. I know what I'm trusting for my soul's salvation. I can't see their souls. But when I hear the words coming out of Big Willie's mouth that says, I'm trusting my performance, living it, and I'm trusting my hot tub for salvation, I can only go by their words as saying, he's not saved. He has a form of godliness, but he denies the power of it. He needs the gospel. He needs this tract. His faith is not in the right object. It's just as if he was trusting bringing a sacrifice like Abel. He's got Bible. He's trusting a Bible gospel. The wrong one. So the tract says, Acts 2:38 is not the plan of salvation because, whew, if you can get past that, it goes to a next verse, Big Willie. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Does anybody know that one offhand? Christ sent me not, this is Paul talking, 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Whoa! That means we've got something that's changed between Acts 2:38 and Paul. God has changed something. You know how I know that? Because Peter was standing up full of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost make many mistakes. God messed things up. Well, wait a minute. Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost too, was he not? Paul met with Jesus. Paul got his instructions and his marching orders from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've got God's word on two different pages saying one is the gospel, and the other Paul says, I'm not baptizing, I'm preaching the gospel. What I just demonstrate is dispensational understanding of your Bible. Why does he use that big word so much? That's why. You can be following Bible and get it wrong. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Oh, wait. Isn't that what we just did with the First United Church of Jesus Christ Apostolic? We made the cross of Christ of none effect, did we not? The tract says, so the gospel that saves and water baptism are two different things. That's what the verse says. The gospel that saves and water baptism are two different things. Baptism was the gospel in Matthew 3. John the Baptist, anyone? Acts 2, baptism was the gospel. Hey, you killed the Holy One and the just. Oops. Don't worry, he's come back to life. Oh, That means I've got a problem. I've killed the Holy One and the just. What should I do? That's what the question was asked to Peter. Do what we've been preaching since Matthew 3, was Peter's response. Repent, have a change of mind, and be baptized. The person who needs this tract is spending all of their time in Matthew 3, Acts 2, where baptism was the gospel. And the fact that they don't know that there is such a thing as a gospel without water tells you they've missed Paul. They haven't seen Paul. The gospel is separate from water baptism. Acts 2:38, the tract goes on, is not the plan of salvation, because salvation is to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the dirtbags, the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. That's a very simple Bible verse, Romans 4:5. To him that worketh not. Baptism's a work, right? You gotta find a preacher, you gotta make sure you have a deep enough tank so you can get totally underwater, you gotta say the right, that's a work. Paul says, to him that worketh not, but believeth, believe. That's something you can't do with your hands. You simply believe. His faith is counted for righteousness. So the tract says, I mentioned it's confrontational, your work of baptism does not justify. That's why I said it might be safer to hand it and go. It's personal. It's talking directly to the reader. Your work of water baptism justifies nothing. Whew. Anybody want to tell Big Willie that one face to face? It always got knives and guns on them. What about that verse, Romans 4:5? Isn't that completely and utterly in opposition to everything that the first Church of Christ whatever said? They said flat out, belief is not good enough. You must believe, but it's not good enough. You must do a bunch of things. This Bible verse says, him that doesn't work but believes gets justification. His faith, believing something, is counted for righteousness. That's why I said, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Moving on in the tract, it says, the washing that you need is by the Spirit, not water. The washing you need is by the Spirit. And it quotes Titus 3:5. Listen how Titus 3:5 starts. Let's see if we're starting to see a Pauline pattern. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the preacher in the dunk tank. No. The verse says the washing of regeneration and renewing. Who does it? God's Holy Ghost. The baptism we need is when the Holy Ghost baptizes us into Christ. Dry! That's the one that saves us. So it's just bam, you know, 2x4, 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 2x6, 4x4. It says the washing you need is not the water. The next thing it says, grace is not water baptism. Every baptismal regenerate thinks they get grace by their water. This says, grace is not water baptism, quotes Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I'm saved by God's grace through believing what he did. That's not water. Another 2x4. Then, it quotes the next verse in Ephesians 2:8, or 2:9. Does anybody remember Ephesians 2:9? Not of works, lest any man should boast. What? And the next thing the tract says is, and you do boast about baptism, don't you? Well, of course they do. You listen to Big Willie tell the story, all of it's irrelevant till we get to the hot tub, right? The hot tub is where the magic happens. They boast about their work of water baptism. So it's just one after the other after the other. Next thing it does, it quotes 1 Corinthians 12:13, the baptism you need to be saved. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's not what Big Willie said. Big Willie said, I, man, sinner, baptized NFL player into Christ. So we've got the wrong baptizer, Big Willie, Holy Ghost, and we've got the wrong element, right? Water puts you into the Spirit, puts you into the spiritual body of Christ. So he's boasting about doing a wrong thing. Oh, because he has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. The tract says, baptized by God the Holy Spirit, last time I checked, that's not your pastor, elder, deacon, or bishop. He may be really nice, but he's not God the Holy Spirit. It says, the tract says, the body in that verse is not a body of water. It's the body of Christ. Another 2x4. The next one, Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptized, in that verse, talking about being immersed by God the Holy Spirit. It says, the tract, I said it was confrontational. It says that baptism, the Spirit doing that, is not a self-righteous work that needs to be immediately dried off. Isn't that what happens when you come up out of the baptistry? What a righteous work. Where's the towels? This is talking about God's Spirit putting you into the body of Christ, not a self-righteous work to be immediately dried off. So the track now, it's like a boxer, you know. Left, right, left, undercut, jab. You got the person off balance. And it says in bold letters, the heart of the issue, the heart of the matter, it says, stop trying to save yourself with works. Trust Christ. Stop trying to save yourself with works. Trust Christ. You want to talk about the power of God? That sentence is dripping, oozing the power of God. It's making self-righteous, religious flesh angry. That's good. Sometimes you need to get self-righteous, religious flesh angry before they'll see. Thank you. Now that the sound man's back in here, we were talking about firing you. It's the second time that's happened. Religious flesh gets angry. It's offensive to somebody who's trusting Acts 2:38 to say, stop trying to save yourself with works. Trust Christ. It's offensive to them. And it's exactly right. It's pointing out to Big Willie and those like him, you're not trusting Christ for your salvation. You're trusting you. You've missed salvation. The other thing it does, you see it says trying. Stop trying to save yourself. It's pointing to the futility of you trying to save yourself when God's clearly said, you want salvation, this is it. And you say, no. I want something from somewhere else. You're opposing God's will. How is that going to work out for you? Why am I Pauline in my doctrine? Why am I dispensational? Because I like having a hard time? No. I know it's impossible to oppose God. I wanted to be on team God. I found out I wasn't for a long time. So, did I do it because it's hard? No, I like it easy. Hey, I got the God of the universe behind me on this one. I think I'll do that. That's why. the futility of trying to save yourself. It's pointing that we mentioned Romans 4:5. It's pointing to the truth of Romans 4:4. It says, now to him that worketh, what do you get for all your good works? What do you get for trusting your good works? Mr. Acts 2:38, in the eyes of God, what's God going to give you? Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. Oh. Well, I remember that I was a dirtbag, so I need some grace. He says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Oh. Anybody want to show up before God? Be a few dollars short?
I've looked at your account here, Steve, and we seem to be in the red.
Anybody want to stand before a holy and righteous God who knows everything about you? Every wicked thing you've ever done, every wicked thought you've ever had?
We're a little bit short here.
I don't want to be that. That's why I'm trusting the eternal God of glory and his blood. And water baptism, I'll pick it up here, I know we're running out of time. Water baptism, do you remember in Galatians 5 when Paul's beating the Galatians up and down because they've left the doctrines of grace and now are following works? Do you remember what the one thing that they were talking about was? They were talking about circumcision in Galatians 5. And Paul's yelling at them, and he says in Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. He knows that preaching just the cross to religious people is offensive. And in their day, they're what they were being preached was circumcision. That's what water baptism is today. That's much more polite in American churches, a water baptism ceremony, than a circumcision ceremony.
Sign up. We'll be having our monthly circumcision service next week. All those who are eligible, sign up.
How long is that line going to be?
How about we're having this month our water baptism?
Who wants to sign up for that? See? Water baptism has replaced circumcision as the most popular false gospel to add to Christ's finished work. So the tract goes on to show you how you can stop trying to save yourself with works and start trusting Christ. And they quote Acts 13 or Acts 16, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul's response, believe. Believe. Believe what? Believe Noah? Believe Abel? Believe Abraham? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work. That's your object of faith. How do I get my sins forgiven and my soul saved? Oh, back where we started with the First United Church of whoever. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Except we end it with a period. We see the godliness of trusting Christ's payment for our sins, and we stop there, leave it full power. We don't deny the power thereof by adding a bunch of other stuff to it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, by which also ye are saved. Okay? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you know what's missing from that gospel? What's missing? Acts 2:38. Paul says, the gospel I declare unto you, by which you are saved, and wherein ye stand, is dry. No water. That's different. Can we leave it different? Can we trust God that he knows what he's doing? Tract says, be settled in your mind today about God's grace. Purpose in your heart to trust only in the death, blood, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Not adding water baptism, etc. Then another as if we didn't have enough 2x4s to the face. One more, in closing. It said, if God saved you by His grace, then the testimony of your salvation is not a tank of water. If you ask an Acts 2:38 person to tell you about their salvation, what are they going to talk about? A tank of water. The events leading up to and following the tank of water. The climax of their story will be the tank of water. This tract is saying that's not a testimony of salvation. That's a testimony of getting wet. If God saved you by His grace, the testimony of your salvation is not a tank of water, but the cross of Christ and an empty tomb. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about? The empty tomb literally happened. The resurrection literally happened. It's a verifiable historical fact. That's what the whole chapter is about. It says, your necessary obedience is found in trusting and preaching the gospel of grace without a religious ceremony. Confrontational enough? Yeah, it's confrontational. But you know what? It's showing somebody who's got their faith in the wrong object, you're looking over here. You need to be trusting that. And it's hitting them in all their favorite places. It's offensive. We know the gospel is offensive. Is it better? Let me ask you this. Because I know somebody's thinking, well, we should never be offensive. Paul was purposely provoking Israel to jealousy. Why? Because he loved them so much, he wanted them to be saved. He was trying to provoke them to jealousy and anger. He said he would go to hell if him going to hell could get his kinsmen saved. So yeah, it's not that you try to be offensive and be a jerk. The message does it for you. The message is offensive enough. Now, I know this is a simple message, and I know that most of you all probably know this. So you're like, yeah, we know that. Thanks, Steve, you just wasted my morning, didn't learn anything new. I knew that. Respectfully, I think you have the wrong idea about why you're here this morning. We're not here. This morning is not about me, and it's not about any of you. That's not why we have these meetings. That's not why we do what we do. It's not about us. It's about them. It's about guys like Big Willie. That's why we do this. That's why we study this material, so we can learn and serve others and help others. That's why we're here, equipping you and I to minister grace to these people. Let me ask you something. Before we talked about this morning, had you given much thought to anybody who's trusting the wrong gospel in their Bible? If you ran into one of them, would you be ready? They come up to you, Acts 2:38 is the gospel, I trust my water. What do you say? If you don't know, if you didn't know, well, now you know you didn't know. Now you know what you need to do. You need to learn. You need to have. What I do is I kind of pile up lists. You can print them off. You can tape them in your Bible. Print off a list. Take this tract, have your verses, have your bullet points, label it Acts 2:38. So next time you run across a person, I don't have that stuff in the front of my brain, but I know where to look. Here's my list. Bing, bing, bing. You're ready. As much as in you is, you're ready, like Paul said. So that's my time for today. I could go on and on. And on and on, you all know that. I'll stop there.